Scripture reading is from Matthew 16, 5-12. When the disciples reached the other side, they had forgotten to bring bread.
Jesus said to them, "Watch and beware the leaven of Pharisees and Sadducees." As they began discussing it amongst themselves, saying, "We brought no bread." But Jesus, aware of this, said, "O you of little faith, why are you discussing among yourselves the fact that you have no bread? Do you not yet perceive? Do you not remember the 5 loaves for the 5,000, and how many baskets you gathered? Or the 7 loaves for the 4,000, and how many baskets you gathered? How is it that you fail to understand that I did not speak about bread? Beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees." Then they understood that he did not tell them to beware of the leaven of bread, but of the teaching of the Pharisees and Sadducees.
Thanks, Matt.
Jesus, you know, I'm trying to be better about my weight and health and all of that good stuff, but why, he just always talking about bread, you know? It's just this overwhelming theme throughout all of Scripture about bread. And I want to remind you that next Sunday is a fifth Sunday in the month. So what we're starting this tradition that began a couple months ago is that we join together for communion on that fifth Sunday, but we also incorporate all generations into that service so that the children will be present. So it'll be a little bit different in here. And so we're just excited that God would call all generations to himself. And, you know, if any of you, I was thinking about maybe doing some videotaping this week, if you have advice, seriously, if you have advice, wisdom for parents and grandparents and children that you'd like to be able to share with them, then please let me know, because I want to pass on that wisdom. So often, the younger generations think they know what they're doing, right? You know? And we need you. We need the older generations to speak truth and wisdom from your life experience and the way you've seen Jesus operate in your life and throughout your life. So that shared wisdom is really important. So we are still praying for rain to come. We are asking God to bring his kingdom to the Central Coast as our church body endeavors to carry out work that serves and honors the King. God already sits on the throne. He reigns over everything, but he has not expanded his kingdom to all of the earth yet. Now, that doesn't mean that the kingdom of God isn't here right now. It's just not fully here yet. I've been reading a book on World War II recently, so I think the kingdom of God is a little bit like the end of that war, especially in the Pacific theater. Because for all intents and purposes, the war was already over, right? But in that Pacific theater, the Japanese chose to continue to fight. They chose not to surrender so easily. Battles were still fought, but the victory had already been claimed. Likewise, Jesus has already won the war, but battles remain on this earth until he returns again. The truth is, we are fighting against a vanquished foe. We long for the reign of Christ to come and to root out the evil that is still clinging to its last breath. We just prayed against that evil. It's still trying to wreak havoc. As we work through this series, we're considering what Jesus has to say about the kingdom of heaven, particularly in his parables in Matthew 13. This morning's short parables highlight two important details about the kingdom. The kingdom, our Bibles to Matthew 13, verse 31. I'll pray as you turn there. Lord Jesus, would you speak like only you can speak as we gather here this morning? pray that you would tune our ears to you so that we could hear you ever so clearly. Pray that you would turn our hearts to you so that we could experience the fullness of all that you have for us. May the words of my mouth, meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you. Be glorified and magnified, Lord Jesus. Amen. Matthew 13, verse 31. He told them another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. He told them still another parable. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. Jesus spoke all these things to the crowd in parables. He did not say anything to them without using a parable. So was fulfilled what was spoken through the prophet. I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things hidden since the creation of the world. So let's begin first by dealing with those last two verses. Verses 34 and 35 are an editorial note made by the gospel writer Matthew. He's reiterating to some degree what Jesus himself said about his parables in Matthew 13, verses 10 through 17. Matthew is quoting from Psalm 78, 2, which says, I will open my mouth with a parable. I will utter hidden things, things from of old. So the gospel writer is essentially saying that Jesus is an authority on hidden truths that are as ancient as time itself. His parables are meant to reveal the secret truths that ultimately unlock the kingdom of God and grant salvation to the elect. This is not in any way, if you all are familiar with this heresy, to describe the heresy of Gnosticism. Don't get this mixed up. That group believed that the people could ascertain or come to some personal knowledge that went beyond what Christ and Scripture revealed. Jesus and Matthew are clarifying that God is the author and revealer of all truth. His truth will be made known to all who have the ears to hear it. Now let's turn to these parables that contain realities about the kingdom of heaven. Notice how both parables speak of a minute beginning which results in a spectacular transformation. So first we have the mustard seed. From this parable, we come to learn that the kingdom of heaven is persistent. So more farming talk. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and planted in the field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it's the largest of garden plants and becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches. If you are like me when you read this, with someone who has limited gardening experience, you're wondering right now, perhaps, if Jesus is correct, if his statement is accurate. Seriously, is the mustard seed the smallest of all seeds? Is the mustard plant the largest plant or tree? The answer to those questions are important, but they are less vital than the point Christ is trying to make through the parable. The essence of the parable is found in the miraculous contrast between the seed and the fully grown plant. We just get so used to life sometimes, right? That we forget to think about how utterly amazing this is. That a tiny seed would develop into a plant that reaches up to 8 to 12 feet high. It's such a large plant that people would sometimes refer to it as a tree. What would have most likely shocked many of Jesus' original listeners was the notion that Jesus would equate the kingdom of God with something so small. Israel figured that the Messiah would burst onto the scene with a demonstration of power that would have been anything but insignificant and tiny. Yet since his birth, we talked about this on Christmas Eve, Christ himself has exemplified humble beginnings. So also the kingdom of heaven, as presented in Jesus' ministry, may go unnoticed at first. If we read the Gospels, we see oftentimes it went unnoticed. However, the time will come when it will be impossible to ignore it. The reason I think that this parable accentuates the persistence of the kingdom of heaven is because Jesus is telling the crowd that the exponential growth of God's reign in the world will absolutely, without a doubt, come to fruition. But notice too, green thumbs and black thumbs alike, growth takes time. The commentary I use for this parable noted that Jesus is telling the crowd that they must be patient. The assurance is that God's kingdom will prevail in the end. The seed has been planted and the plant will grow. But I think there is. Mustard has a vigorous growth cycle. Seeds germinate between 5 to 10 days and quickly grow. The time it takes from a seed to be planted to maturity is 90 days. In other words, mustard plants are prolific. They produce a great deal of fruit and reproduce quickly. That's what the kingdom of God is like. In the second of this morning's parables, we have the yeast. From this parable, we come to learn that the kingdom of heaven is pervasive. You know, the word pervasive is often used in a negative connotation, but not always. That is why I think it's an appropriate word to describe the parable of the yeast. Yeast, or more generally speaking, leaven, is normally used in Scripture to describe a pervasiveness that is corrupt, like the yeast of the religious leaders that Matt just read about. In that passage, and several others, the yeast symbolizes sin that infects what is good and can overcome it. It completely overcomes something that's good. It spreads throughout. That's why Jesus and later Paul warn about the yeast of particular sinners and sins. But unlike virtually everywhere else in Scripture, Jesus speaks about the yeast in a supremely positive way in Matthew 13. He says the kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked all through the dough. It's only a single verse. One parable in one verse, but lots for us to take in here. First, it's worth noting that it's a woman here. She becomes the main character. She has set out to complete no small task. This much flour would feed an entire small village. That's how much it would make. But the amount of yeast she uses is not mentioned because it's just a nominal amount. And yet it's able to expand throughout all of that flour and produce a huge quantity of bread. The kingdom of heaven may be initially insignificant, but it is pervasive in a good way. During the initial months of the pandemic, bread baking became all the rage, if we can remember back 2 years ago. Lolly and I witnessed countless friends and acquaintances show off their completed masterpieces on Instagram. It was like it became just this almost competition amongst people of like how beautiful and elaborate these breads that they could make were. And so I was like, we need to get in on this. And so we had time, right? We remember that? We had lots of time at home to do those sort of things. And so Lalia was a quick study, and she made many a delicious loaf for our family. I knew nothing about the science behind it, and I still don't. But I know that she kept this small little container of yeast in the fridge. And after lots and lots of bread, I would look in the fridge, and that container looked like it hadn't even been touched. So little yeast was needed to yield these loaves of bread. A little yeast goes a long way. In the ancient world, the normal method of bringing about fermentation in bread making was to insert into new dough a small amount of old fermented dough reserved from the previous baking. It is the leaven or the sourdough rather than yeast proper, which the woman is using in this parable. So some old delicious bread would get inserted into the new dough. There's also something else worth noting that is lost on us when we read our NIV translation. The woman doesn't actually mix in the yeast. Jesus says that she took and hid the yeast in the flour. I like the way one translator explains the significance of this. He says that by saying the woman hid the leaven in the flour, Jesus is making the point that the kingdom of God spreads its unstoppable influence, yet is not readily detected. Another scholar adds on to this by saying the kingdom of heaven is not only inconspicuous, it is also deliberately kept hidden for the time being. In Mark's gospel, which we'll be studying later on this year, there's this thing called the messianic secret, that God sometimes keeps things hidden before he reveals them. But one day, he promises that it will be plainly seen by everyone. Jesus is saying his kingdom is like leaven because it will eventually spread throughout the entire world. It will get into every nook and corner. It will be relentless, even at times when we cannot see it or perceive it. So take heart, people of God. The kingdom of heaven is on the move. It's growing and expanding. It cannot and it will not be stopped. I often ruminate over my sermons throughout the week. I was finishing up my introduction to this one, and I left for the afternoon, headed home. I took my normal route, which is through the golf course, and then I pop onto South Bay Boulevard. And as I got to that initial windy section, I was overwhelmed by the pungent smell of skunk. I don't know if it's the season, but they're all over the place. The roadkill had released this stench into the air and it made its way into my car. In fact, it was still there when I drove in this morning, if anyone came from that way. Since I had already developed my sermon's two main points, I caught that whiff of the skunk and my initial reaction was, wow, that is persistent and pervasive. Then I remembered what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians. But thanks be to God, who always leads us as captives in Christ's triumphal procession and uses us to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. To the one, we are an aroma that brings death. To the other, an aroma that brings life. That skunk smell is quite literally the aroma of death. And it's powerful. So powerful, in fact, that you cannot combat it simply by wafting a nice smelling aroma through the air. All of us combined do not have enough Febreze and Yankee candles and essential oils to cover up that smell. And we probably, if we mixed all that together, it would create something maybe worse, right? No, the aroma of death has to be neutralized first. Then a new lovely aroma can be released. That's what Jesus did for us. He neutralized and defeated death. His kingdom is marked by this gospel truth. His life, death, and resurrection began like a small seed in a tiny section of Israel. His kingdom was inaugurated back then like yeast hidden into a large batch of dough. You and I are beneficiaries of the fact that his kingdom is persistent and it's pervasive. And now, as people who have heard the good news, we have a mission. We are to spread the aroma of the knowledge of him everywhere. For we are to God the pleasing aroma of Christ among those who are being saved and those who are perishing. Think for a moment about how you might live your life so that whenever people get a whiff of you, they detect the love of Christ. Remember that both parables speak of a small, barely perceptible beginning, which results in a spectacular transformation. I think people need to hear this. No matter how small or insignificant you might fear yourself to be, you have kingdom value. Living for Christ and sharing his love for others actually leads to generational fruitfulness, generational transformation. You know, I was blown away this past Thursday afternoon. This sanctuary right here was more full than I personally have ever seen it, because people wanted to come and honor the life and legacy of Jane Evans. Several people shared stories about the kindness that Jane exuded. She was joy-filled. She served sacrificially 24 years as an officer in this church. She was faithful. I don't think we'll ever read a best-selling book about Jane's life. There won't be a movie made. But she's a hero. It seems to me that Jane exuded the aroma of Christ. Friends, we don't need to have a church that's filled with fancy programs and elaborate ministries. We need to be filled with authentic people who love God and try to serve him faithfully. We know that Jesus is on his throne and his kingdom is unstoppable, so we can live out our days with confident hope. The stench of death has been destroyed, and now we carry with us the sweet aroma of resurrection life. Let's pray. Oh, Lord Jesus, we are so thankful that Jesus did begin your kingdom on earth. God, you didn't have to do that. You didn't have to plant that seed. You didn't have to germinate it. You didn't have to bring it to growth. But here we are, right here, 2,000 years later, and we're a product of that. We are proof that these parables were true. God, help us to not only rest in that truth, but also build upon it. Help us to know that you are still on the move. Help us to know that we have value and that you utilize us. You use our gifts, the ones that you've given us, to expand your kingdom and bring the aroma of Christ. In the name of Jesus.